Rich, 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. U.S. military generals and admirals from around the world gathering in Virginia. They were summoned there by Defense Secretary Hegseth and President Trump. ABC Chief White House Correspondent Mary Bruce says many are still in the dark about what it's all about.
This really is an unprecedented meeting that senior officers know very little about. President Trump and Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth will be addressing several hundred top commanders who have been told to convene in person this morning at Quantico in Virginia without knowing the reason. Secretary Hegseth, we know, is expected to discuss what he's coined the warrior ethos, but beyond that, very little is known.
The federal government appears on the road to a shutdown. Talks between Republicans and Democrats in Congress have broken down. Midnight tonight is the deadline. Tropical storm Imelda expected to create wet, windy conditions on the East Coast this week. And Dolphins wide receiver Tyreek Hill likely out for the rest of the year after suffering a dislocated left knee. This is ABC News.
For WBZH and WHSM News, I'm James Kelly. A group of Republican state lawmakers have introduced legislation to legalize the use of medical marijuana. The proposed legislation would create a new state program allowing growers, processors, labs, and dispensaries to obtain a license to legally produce and sell medical marijuana. The bill would also establish safeguards to ensure only people who have a medical need for it can gain access to it. The lawmakers say people with chronic illness should not need to cross state lines to try alternative medicines. Medical marijuana is legal at some level in most other states. New changes have officially gone into effect for Wisconsin's Supplemental Nutrition Program for women, infants, and children. According to the Wisconsin Department of Health Services, the changes implemented to the WIC program on Monday will offer recipients expanded food choices, more options for special diets, and additional support for healthy eating habits. Among the changes are an extra $3 for fruits and vegetables, more options for infant foods, and more whole grain options for women who are pregnant, breastfeeding, or postpartum. The city of Superior is reminding residents to practice caution following a report from the Wisconsin Department of Health Services, which found a significant increase in fall-related calls. According to Superior Fire Department officials, crews responded to 445 fall calls in 2024, which was about 17% of their total call volume. They're sharing helpful tips with residents on how to prevent falls, including staying active and taking advantage of services offered by the Douglas County Aging and Disability Resource Center. The Washburn County Board continued discussions about the need for a new jail at their meeting this month. The current county jail does not meet Wisconsin Department of Correction housing requirements for certain inmates, and officials say the cost of transporting those inmates to other facilities can be anywhere between $45 and $155 per day. The county board voted against purchasing real estate in the town of Beauchamp for a new county jail earlier this year and have been discussing another potential jail site in Shell Lake. For WBZH and WHSM News, I'm James Kelly.
The Bucks are new and improved. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NBA. That's the message Bucks GM John Horsehead telling reporters on how they've revamped the roster after releasing Damian Lillard.
We have even more shooting this year than we had last year. Obviously highlighted by the Miles Turner acquisition, which was huge for us. He really fits us as a person, as a player, age-wise on the timeline of the rest of our team. Doc said yesterday he's actually younger than Giannis, which is great.
NFL, the Packers' Micah Parsons says he wants to meet this week with defensive coordinator Jeff Hafley after Green Bay allowed the Cowboys to score 40 points Sunday night.
We're just sitting down talking for 10, 15 minutes together post-game, and just like I said, bro, I want to meet with you one-on-one. That's the same thing I used to do with Zimmer, same thing I did with Dan Quinn, just about like what he sees, what I see. I take my personal time so that we can build that relationship together. But, you know, it's something that I do want to hope throughout this bye week that we come back and we start doing more things together.
That's the Packers' Micah Parsons with Sports on Mike Clemens.
You're listening to 96.9 WBZH, Hayward's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m.
Partly cloudy today with a sprinkle or two possible here by later this afternoon, and our high right around 80 this afternoon. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a low in the low to mid 50s. Tomorrow, partly cloudy to mostly cloudy with a high in the mid to upper 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 53.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Matt and Air on Air.
The borders are. Tom Homan was investigated for accepting $50,000 from undercover FBI agents.
50 grand in a fast food bag as a payoff. If Kamala Harris would have accepted a fast food bag full of fast food, it would have been congressional hearings, yes, yes. 24 hours on every network, yep, that hated them.
It's corruption palooza, man. Yeah.
Matt and Air on Air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Todd Alba.
Federal government shutdown looms, healthcare in danger. We'll discuss it with Sean Fetteplace of the Main Street Action Alliance. Also, Alex Bedorsky is in talking about Knowles Nelson Conservancy.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. It is 7:06. Nice to have you along back here up north on this Tuesday morning, September 30th, 2025. We've got a guest standing by from Main Street Alliance talking about what some of these potential cuts and a government shutdown could do in the real world here in Wisconsin to daycare providers, parents, and others. That's coming up in just a little bit. We'll also be talking to State Representative Angela Stroud in our Way Up North segment. She's a representative from the Ashland area, and we'll be talking about what she's working on through the Wisconsin legislature. Brittany Merlot is off. We have details on our local weather forecasts throughout the course of the day on your local civic media radio station. And now it's time for the day's first round of our Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win contest. This is where you get that civic media app out. Call up one of the stations and use the text feature. Text us the keyword that I'm about to give you before 8 o'clock. There will be 7 chances to play throughout the course of the day. You can enter in every one of them. You could conceivably win a daily prize, which is $200 cash and a gold-plated chain. And then every entry is in the running for the grand prize. 2 club-level indoor seats. See Green Bay versus Minnesota playing a little football, a Green Bay home game on November 23rd. A gas card to get you to the game. Total value of the package, $1,500 or more. A little fine print here. Every entry will get you a return message giving you a way to earn another entry linked to a specific activity like signing up for a newsletter, for example. And again, you can get the full rules at the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us. So if you're ready, the keyword to text us before 8 a.m. is WIN, W-I-N. Just text us the word WIN, and your next chance to enter will be during the 9 o'clock hour of Matt and Air on Air. You go for the green and gold. Again, this hour's keyword is WIN. Text that in before 8 o'clock. All right, let's talk a bit about what happens if there's a government shutdown, not to mention all the budget cuts that are already taking place. And we've been talking at length with our friends at Main Street Alliance, representing small businesses around Wisconsin, and not just the business owners, but you know, their employees and their customers and all the people who don't have a lobby as big as, say, the big business lobbies do in Washington, D.C. Well, now, because of the potential for a government shutdown, Main Street Alliance has some of their members going to Capitol Hill, meeting with people like Senate Democratic Leader Chuck Schumer and House Leader Hakeem Jeffries. There will be a roundtable today in one case, and a rally to protect health care on the steps of the Capitol as well. And one of the folks who's there is Kara Pitt DeAndrea, executive director of a nonprofit daycare center in Milwaukee, and is joining us now to talk more about the activities and some of the stakes that are involved happening in Washington, D.C. Kara, good morning. How are you? Oh, Kara, I'm having a tough time hearing you here. I don't know if you're on mute or not. Let's try that again. Can you hear me all right? Oh no, I'm not able to hear you here. So I'll let you work on your settings for a sec here, and you just keep talking. And if I hear you, I'll pop you back up here in just a sec. But again, some of the things that they're going to be talking about here are how basically when you have a government shutdown, and this is going to impact childcare, this is going to impact single parents. It is a profession that is already chronically underfunded, and without certain government funding that's in there, it's going to be a lot tougher for parents and childcare providers to be able to do their work. And a lot of folks are not going to be able to do their work, or at least not get paid to do their work. Folks in the military, folks in the TSA, you know, some of us who are traveling in the coming days are bracing ourselves for potential delays as a result, because if people are expected to work and not get paid, and then they're asked to take extra shifts, they're not necessarily likely to do that. So this is just some of the many ways that a shutdown could impact us. Kara, let me try you again. Are you able to speak to us now? Let's see. Nope. Oh, gosh, you're still not. I'm still not getting your voice there. So I'll let you work on that here while I continue on to talk about some of the other news. And we'll bring Kara back in just a little bit here. I did want to mention in other headlines that there has been some test drilling going on in northern Wisconsin. And some of the results of that test drilling are now coming in that have signified the discovery of gold and copper deposits. And according to a story in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel by Laura Schulte, you know, this could conceivably be a next step for having Wisconsin see it is first, could see its first mine in decades. It's a company called Green Light Metals, which has been doing the drilling outside of Medford, drilling six very deep holes to access a rocky layer that is home to the minerals. And then there will be some more drilling that is going to get done. And it is the first of many steps that would be needed before there'd be anything resembling mining. But before we even get into the trouble with the mining, we have to keep in mind just the drilling of the holes themselves. The test boring is also something that can be an issue because of all of the sediment that it brings up, the possibility of contaminants getting in. This is all something that should be tightly regulated. And I know some people think that regulation is this dirty word, and they're always trying to cut regulations. I'm kind of a fan of having tough regulations on the environment and making sure that if you're going to do anything, that you do it safely. You know, this isn't about, say, not having a mine, for example, but maybe having a mine that you can prove operates safely and does not contaminate, not only when it's operating, but after it has been capped or otherwise closed down safely. There was a law on the books in Wisconsin for many years that said exactly that, said for you to get permission to operate a mine in Wisconsin that could harm the environment, you have to show that you have operated a mine somewhere else for a number of years and have operated it safely, and that for years afterwards, it has not polluted the environment. Clearly, you know what you're doing, and you're more likely to get a permit to operate a mine here in Wisconsin. One of the leaders of killing that kind of protection was a then state senator by the name of Tom Tiffany, who is now the congressman for northern Wisconsin and who is now a candidate for Wisconsin governor. And he loves to talk about the jobs that mining would bring. To him, this is all about the money and the jobs that would come in, and that environmental concerns are overblown and that they would be addressed. Well, if they would be addressed, then why would you be against a rule that says you got to prove you can operate that mine safely? But that's not where Tom Tiffany and others stood. So Wisconsin becomes more vulnerable to a mine that could contaminate, you know, our water and also do damage to wetlands at the surface and much more. We've been hearing about the potential for drilling in northern Wisconsin for many, many years now. it's not really a surprise that there are things like gold, copper, zinc, and other metals there. The geology of the region tells us that, yes, over the millennia that these deposits have been formed. But again, it's because of the geology of the area that the area is especially sensitive. And that's why you haven't seen mining. Either it's because the minerals are at extreme depths, or again, because of the way that the layers of the earth are laid out in this part of the area between, the glaciers carving us out and everything else. This is just not your typical area where you're digging a hole and you're finding some gold and some zinc and some other things. There would be a lot that would need to happen, and a lot that would need to happen safely. And right now, we don't have any real assurance that that's exactly what's going to happen. So that's why even the test drilling to look for these minerals was concerning, because, again, there is that potential for contamination and for other damage to be done. Parker, do we have Kara on the phone now for us?
Yes, we should have her now here.
Hey, good Kara. Morning.
Oh, hey, Kara. Good morning. I apologize for whatever our technical snafu was.
Yeah, no, but sorry about that. Thanks for getting me in.
No, I appreciate you being here and telling us more about why you're in Washington, D.C. with Main Street Alliance and talking about, the things that a government shutdown could do. So for the time that we've got left here, do you mind telling us just a little bit about what you do and why you decided to speak out in Washington, D.C.?
Absolutely. So I am responsible for 22 employees with a very small to mid-sized business in Milwaukee. We serve 93 children, dozens of families over the years, hundreds. And I purchase my insurance through the marketplace. I'm very grateful to the Affordable Care Act. We, unfortunately, as a business, it is just so expensive for major medical. We help our staff navigate the marketplace, Badger Care, which of course is funded by Medicaid. And for us, it helps bridge the gap that is just so fiscally prohibitive for us. We as a daycare help bridge the gap for families who need slightly longer hours, highly supervised, care. We follow licensing. We are there for the families who other centers, their wait list, it doesn't fit. We have our own wait list that we try to work with families to get them in, to support them so they can do their jobs. For me, personally and professionally, a government shutdown and a non-renewal of the Affordable Care Act risks, teachers having to make choices between staying in early childhood education or stepping out of the field. I have been able to stay in the industry and serve our community in Milwaukee because I have been able to subsidize. I've been able to, bridge the gap of my own health insurance. I'm a single mom. I don't have, a corporate health insurance. And this was a massive step and assistance for me to serve the community. So, creating a more fractured system really puts at jeopardy my staff, my ability to continue the quality care and the serve our community, and my ability potentially to stay in the public sector and serve our community directly.
This is Kara Pitt DeAndrea. She's a child care provider. She's in Washington, D.C., talking about the impact of a government shutdown and, frankly, the impact of things that have already been done within the government through the Trump Republican mega bill with its cuts to Affordable Care Act, enhanced tax credits, and then looming cuts to Medicaid and other things as well. Kara, are you able to hang on past the break so we can chat just a little bit more, or do you have to run off?
Would love to. No, okay. We're good so far. Yeah, I'd love to. Thanks, Pat.
Sounds good. Okay. Kara, you stand by. You'll be joining us along with Dan Hagen from WJFW, Newswatch 12 and Rhinelander on the way. And then when we're all back together at 7:35, we will be talking to State Representative Angela Stroud from up in the Ashland area as well. And along the way, of course, you can give us comments and questions over at the Up North News Facebook and YouTube pages, or the Civic Media Facebook and YouTube pages. And again, our keyword in our Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win contest is WIN, W-I-N. I'm Pat Breitlow, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Big Fish Golf Club in Hayward is teeing it up with the Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win on WBZH, The Buzz of the North. Say my name, Big G, and slice $20 off your next round, now through October 31st.
Is violent crime in the U.S. higher than 25 years ago? No. Violent crime is lower nationally and in major cities than 25 years ago, according to FBI and Justice Department data. In 2023, cities with 250,000 or more people reported 771 violent crimes per 100,000 residents, down from 1,093 in 2000. Nationally, violent crime has stayed below 400 incidents per 100,000 residents for a decade, compared to about 500 in the late 1990s. Pew Research reported a 49% drop in violent crime, which includes murder, rape, robbery, and aggravated assault since 1993. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. From fighting wildfires with air support, helping civilians in flooded neighborhoods, to delivering food and supplies to those who have lost everything, the Army National Guard always responds when disaster strikes. The Army National Guard also trains to be ever vigilant against threats, foreign and domestic. They protect our skies with missile defense weaponry. They secure our information, communications, and infrastructure with cybersecurity. And they protect us against chemical, biological, and radiological hazards with the civilian support team. The Army National Guard also stands ready to deploy and provide support for conflicts or humanitarian missions abroad. Join the Army National Guard and be there to respond, protect, and support your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Tuesday morning here on The Buzz of the North, and Pat Kreitlow will be back in just a little bit. Joel here and Greg Gunderson. Good morning, Greg.
Good morning, Joel.
Well, it's Tuesday. You know what that means, right?
Well, I was going to say, it's a morning. Is it good? I'm very neutral on that. I don't know how to feel, Joel.
It's Taco Tuesday somewhere, but today it's Greeple. It's Greeple time. We speak Green Bay Packer football, and we speak purple. And it was a fun weekend of football.
It was.
We're in a pattern of football right now.
A groove
of blocked kicks and field goals, and it just things happening that are just in bunches, seems like.
And I know groove is more like rhythm. That's what people mean when they say we're in a groove.
Yeah.
But if you think about it, you could kind of mean we're in a rut, but more positively. You know, like a literal groove and a rut, those are the same thing, just with different perspectives. So that's how I'm going to look at it. I agree. I like that came up that way. The blocked kicks, the strong defensive performances, rookies playing out of their minds these last couple weeks. It's been a charmed season so far.
It has been, and the Packers experienced every emotion that you just mentioned, plus about seven more on Sunday night, in a game that, going into it, we kind of thought, well, the Packer defense has been really good this year. I know the Dallas offense has also been good this year, but you figured, well, the Packers will probably take care of business. We'll get to Dak. We'll knock them around a little bit. It was a track meet.
Yes.
It was a track meet.
Absolutely. I mean, every yard of that field got touched by about three different size 13 shoes, you know, like just like everybody was everywhere and they were all on offense and nobody played defense. I definitely felt a lot of anxiety about that game. And Yeah, I still am not sure entirely how to feel, but that's the tie, right? That's the whole tie. The resolution just isn't there, so we have to decide. That's what I concluded on my show, by the way, was a tie is much like real life, which is why it stinks. Yeah. There's too much good with the bad. Like, no, give me one.
It is bizarre, and to have it end up tied that way, when you look at a blocked extra point that got taken the other way for 2 points, had a big influence on how that game was played at the end. I'm not saying it won or lost it and how it would have ended, but it had a huge influence on how the last quarter and the overtime was played.
Yes, absolutely. And of course, now the question in my mind becomes, Joel, what has changed about the discussion? Because, you know, going into the game, the expectation is these Cowboys have terrible defense pretty consistently so far this season. The Packers have passable offense with missed opportunities, and so people expected a certain victory. But that was informed by what the Cowboys have done so far this season and who they did it against.
Right, right.
Which in turn is informed by the same things. So now, so what would have been a little bit different if the Cowboys lost as expected? People would have said, yep, the Packers are who we've been saying they are. Their defense is phenomenal. Their offense misses sometimes, but still does well. And they would have said, yep, and the Cowboys let another one by, even if they would have scored pretty decently on offense. And there might be conversations about, hey, is Jeff Hafley's defense leaky or things like that. You know, we'd still be talking about the missed opportunities and the issues that were there. But generally, we'd be seeing yesterday's game as confirmation of last weekend's conversations.
Yeah.
But going forward now, the Packers are no longer going to be seen as that juggernaut that they started for 2 weeks as, you know.
Oh, drop
now,
of the power ranks, yeah.
Which means that the teams that beat us won't get quite as much credit, which means the Cowboys won't get quite as much credit for this tie. I mean, this game, it was a tie, and the feelings are complex, but it's also the perfect example of why I've got such a huge problem with these guys who tell you what's coming. It's like, okay,
Michael
Irvin, I don't care that you were really good. You just don't know. Like, you didn't know that the Niners were going to get you that year. You thought you knew. You went into that game thinking you knew. It's just the nature of the game. That's what I enjoy about it. Just, I don't know, maybe I'm just grumpy at the pundits. Am I just therapizing, Joel?
Yeah, because you're confused. You're just confused because the emotions of a tie are just numb.
There's more than one.
Yeah, it's that moment. Everybody has that moment in your life where for some reason you just feel even. You don't feel good. You don't feel bad. You're just kind of like coasting on the gravity, and that's kind of what a tie is. Everybody walked to their bed last night after the game and just kind of said, well, I guess we're going to have to figure out what tiebreakers are with a one at the end all the time.
Yep. One of the announcers mentioned the only thing that this game didn't offer was closure. I thought, yeah, that's pretty true. It was a little bit of everything but closure.
I still feel pretty confident that the Cowboys probably aren't going to be a playoff team. I don't think they will be. Their offense clicked last night. The Packers defensively, for whatever reason, just couldn't get that pressure that they've had, and they had a couple injuries. They had an injury to one of their corners that the guy who came in replaced, he whiffed on a couple of tackles later in the game. So that was a key part. But we find out, as we go through the season, we find out how good the backups are, number one.
Yep.
And then we find out how good the team is at bringing other people in to replace the backups that aren't any good, and now we need somebody to come in here. That's why 17-0 is almost impossible. You're just going to have a couple of those games where you got to throw somebody out there and figure and see if they're any good, see if they figure it out.
Yeah, we begin to see why I have enough material to spend a whole offseason talking about things like a practice squad and why each guy can be elevated for exactly 3 games without counting against one of the 53. I mean, like, there's so many layers that they all amount to who's available, what have you invested into those backups, was it too much, did you detract? Like, that's it. It's the chaos of all the variables. That, in many ways, is the appeal to each of us, I think, in our own individual perspective. But No, a fantastic and charmed weekend of football. Close games, man. What's better than a close game?
It was the beginning of Jackson Dart, right? Mr. Dart.
Started with a win, and Dable might have a career for this season at least.
Yeah, exactly. And it looks as though the Lions are the best team in the division right now, anyway.
Might well be.
That's for a week, anyway. They'll get that honor. And there's something I noticed about last night's game that, as a fan of the Vikings, scared me a little bit.
Ooh, I like
all right?
this.
So I'm going to share that in our segment later this hour. At about 7:52, careful there on the liking of the purple, and we'll talk a little bit about the Viking game too, which was not a good one for the purple, but Aaron Rodgers played well for those Steelers. More to come. Pat Kreitlow, he is stepping back in next year on your Greeple Tuesday morning, talking green and purple with Joel and Gray here on the Buzz of the North.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North. 910 AM WBZH.
The Buzz of the North, 96.9 WBZH. Hayward's real news and great conversation, and home to mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
You may think that World Dairy Expo is a show only for people that are in the dairy industry or involved in cows. Well, you might want to think again. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Tuesday. I'll give everybody a reason why they may want to attend World Dairy Expo. That's up next.
What is the Dairyland seed difference? The answer is found in our difference makers. Our seeds are developed and delivered for unrivaled performance in and only in the Upper Midwest. Our local dealers, expert agronomists, and everyone throughout our organization who live to make life better on farms and in the community. It's our people, products, and pedigree that combine to make a true difference that you can see on the bottom line and feel in your heart. Learn more about our difference makers at DairylandSeedDifference.com.
It is a tradition that everybody can enjoy at World Dairy Expo, the grilled cheese sandwich. The UW-Madison Badger Dairy Club is largely responsible for the grilled cheese stand at World Dairy Expo. Grace Manziel is heading up the effort this year on behalf of Badger Dairy Club. She's from Roberts, Wisconsin. She's currently a biological systems engineering student on campus, and she's ready for volume this week.
We are estimating to sell about 20,000 grilled cheeses throughout this week. It takes about 15 people at our peak time. As you can see, this morning we're running a little short. So, you know, sometimes we have one person on four griddles and we're making it work. But our crew here is really good about jumping in and helping out and making sure that everything gets done. So it's awesome.
Yes, it is. That's Grace Manziel from Roberts, Wisconsin, a student on the UW-Madison campus and a member of the Badger Dairy Club that will be the energy behind the more than 20,000 grilled cheese sandwiches they'll be selling. They also expect to kick out somewhere in the neighborhood of 10,000 chocolate shakes.
Unique farming operations need unique financial solutions. Ag Country Farm Credit Services offers customized financing that fits any size farm, ranch, or agribusiness. The next time you're in the market for more land, equipment, facilities, or maybe even an operating loan, contact the team at Ag Country. They know agriculture and will work for you. Ag Country. Focused on ag, focused on you. Ag Country is an equal opportunity lender.
It's going to be a tough decision for a lot of Wisconsin farmers to decide if they want to attend World Dairy Expo with the beautiful weather we're enjoying. The latest update from the Wisconsin Ag Statistical Service says 66% of our corn silage has been harvested and 4% of our corn for grain is already harvested. About 6% of our soybeans have already been combined. 72% of our potatoes have been harvested. So there's still some work to be done when it comes to the harvest of 2025. We'll see you at World Dairy Expo. That's a quick update on Food and Fiber News on a Tuesday. I'm Pam Yonke.
The Buzz of the North, 96.9 WBZH. Hayward's real news and great conversation.
And home to Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings from 9 to 11.
Partly cloudy today with a sprinkle or two possible here by later this afternoon. And our high right around 80 this afternoon. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a low in the low to mid 50s. Tomorrow, partly cloudy to mostly cloudy with a high in the mid to upper 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 53.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman Program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Maggie Dawn.
At 4 o'clock, I'm joined by the executive director of Block, Angela Lang. We discuss the current state of the gubernatorial candidates here in the state of Wisconsin. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Welcome back on this Tuesday morning, September 30th, and we have a keyword for this hour for the Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win contest, where you could win some cash, some jewelry as part of a daily prize, or be in the running for a grand prize and some football tickets. See Green Bay versus Minnesota. The keyword to text us through the Civic Media app before 8 o'clock this morning is WIN, W-I-N, WIN, and then there will be another half dozen chances for you to enter the Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win contest throughout the day on your favorite Civic Media shows. We were jumping right into talking with Kara out there in Washington, D.C., and so I did not get a chance to pass along a good morning from Rob in Tigerton, who said it's partly cloudy, 53 degrees. It's going to feel more like September 1st instead of October 1st. I have lawns to mow in the Wittenberg area. Love being outdoors working. Yesterday I was mowing outside. There was a lot of morning dew, and there are areas of grass that are still growing. Yeah, I know. We had to do that yesterday as well. And from Ardith, noting the new book out by Chuck Collins, Burned by Billionaires, says Chuck Collins would be a terrific guest. His ads for patriotic millionaires are so good. So, yes, that is definitely something that we'll be pursuing. Around this time every Tuesday, we do a segment called Way Up North, where we talk to some of our friends up in the Ashland, Bayfield, Superior areas, up along the south shore of Lake Superior. And that includes occasional visits with the state representative for the 73rd District. That would be Representative Angela Stroud from the Ashland area. Angela, good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning. I'm well, thanks. How are you?
Very good. Very good. We've got the legislature kind of doing some of its fall work right now, but a lot of focus is, of course, on the federal government and the potential for a shutdown out there. It's something I would imagine you're going to start hearing more about, especially once it's likely to hit at midnight, people talking about the impact of what a federal shutdown means. It's not something any of us are really immune from when you think about it.
Yeah. And especially up here, you know, we have so many federal agencies up here, from outdoor things like forestry and USGS. And there's so many, many federal intersections in this region. And so first time in this position where I've been a state representative and through a shutdown. So we'll see what it'll be like. I have no idea what to expect, but that's been the theme for the last 8 months. So more of the same, I guess.
It really has been. And, I was looking at a series that Spectrum News is doing, getting to know all of the legislators, and they recently put one up from an interview they did with you. And one of the things that really stuck with me was you saying that the job is actually a little bit more basic than people think. You hear about all the conspiracies and all the rumors. And I recall that as well, going from, working in a newsroom to being a state senator, and that everybody wants this job to be more glamorous and they want it to be more clandestine and conspiratorial. It's really not if you strip away the baloney.
Totally. I make $60,000 a year to try to help to figure out how to fund schools and make our roads better. Like it's public service. I mean, it's really, really basic. And so many of the things that we deal with, just how to have a functional society. And I think sometimes it would be helpful for people to just do some creative thinking and say like, okay, let's imagine you have a bunch of people living together who are trying to figure out how do we live together functionally and what do we need and how do we get services and provisions? That's what we're doing. That's actually what we're doing. This is what government is. And so, yeah, we deal with really basic things. Sometimes the things we deal with are more complex or controversial, but the core of what we do is just, you know, we need to collect revenues and then we need to distribute those to make sure that people have good lives and really basic things. And so that's the core of government. And I think we need some civic education around those ideas.
We truly do, because again, it should be the idea of public service, and you can disagree with how to do it, but at its heart is still public service and solving problems. And somewhere along the way, that other mindset took hold of, we're not here for public service. We're here to win. We're here to win or lose. We're not so much here to govern as we are to rule. And to do that, we need complete dominance and power. So we need to raise all kind of money to do that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, somewhere along the line, we lost, you know, sight of what we are at our most basic, is that notion of public service. Is that now too naive of a view that we could ask for more legislators who actually embrace that kind of mindset?
No, I think it's what the public is thirsty for. I think most people just want people who are in it for the right reasons. And the vast majority of elected officials, I believe, are in it for the right reasons. But the problem, I think, is that in recent years, we've seen a really perverse incentive dynamic develop, where the more outrageous you are, the more controversial, the more just kind of ridiculous, frankly, you are, the more attention you get. And with the decline of local newspapers and the fracturing of media, attention is the most important currency. And so unfortunately, we have this reality where if you can get the most attention possible, you have the highest likelihood of success in politics. And so it's not about, are you reasonable? Are you committed to good governance? Do you really want to try to figure out results? It's do you have the capacity to get people to pay attention to you?
You're talking like a sociologist over here. And from what I saw in the Spectrum interview, that's apparently something in your background.
Yeah. I was a sociology professor before doing this. And, you know, a lot of people don't know what sociology is, but it's the systematic study of society. So my whole adult life, well, basically starting from when I was 18, I have been committed to trying to figure out why the world works the way that it does. And it's very helpful in this job, I have to say.
Without a doubt. And yet we also learned not just the serious sociology side of things, but I mean, I was not prepared for your answer to favorite movie.
Okay, it's Spaceballs. The reality is I don't watch movies over and over again like many people do. And the one movie that I have seen dozens of times, maybe, it's Spaceballs. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that my best friend, when I was little, we watched it religiously. We would divide up the roles. We would repeat the lines. So it's a movie that I know better than any other movie. And, you know, it is my favorite. I have to say, I like absurd comedies.
Look, anything Mel Brooks, I mean, I'm in. But there was, when you're doing stories like this, you think, okay, these are pretty run of the mill. We just ask the state representative some questions. And then there's this moment where off camera, somebody says, you know, they're making a Spaceball sequel. And the look on your face is just like surprise and joy altogether, that, you know, a few weeks back, which says something about how busy you're working, that you missed the announcement that Rick Moranis and others are working on a Spaceballs too.
I mean, there's not often lately where there's just news you weren't expecting that's really shocking, and it's pure joy. So Spaceballs 2 being announced in that moment, yeah, that was pure joy. That's what you saw on my face.
It was. So Rick Moranis, Bill Pullman, Daphne Zuniga, all confirmed for this 1987 film that's going to have a remake, which I really, really hope is good, because that, you know the thing with remakes, you know, for every Godfather 2, you know, there's an Anchorman 2, which is, you know, it's okay. It's nice to see the gang back together, but it's never going to be quite the same. And that's
unfortunately, this feels a bit like the movie industry grasping for something that'll make some money in a time when they can't figure out how to make money. You know, the world has changed so much, and we're seeing all of these sort of fits and starts of people trying to figure it out. And so I fear it'll be that, but all I can do is hope for the best.
Oh, you have to. Yeah, I mean, I always know when I hear some kind of a sequel like that, like, I'm in, I'm going. You know, we had the one oh gosh, I went to one just a couple of months back and it wasn't, Police Squad, the Naked Gun. It's good to see everybody together. It's not going to be the same, but I'm still glad you went. You know, it's like a family reunion. They're not all going to be, you know, the best family reunion ever. We're talking to State Representative Angela Stroud from Ashland about some matters way up north. And I was talking about one of them in our last half hour that involves the drilling for precious metals like, you know, gold and zinc and other things in northern Wisconsin. And we talked about how then state senator, now congressman and gubernatorial candidate Tom Tiffany had been one of the leading voices to scrap the precautions that are in place before any kind of a new mine could begin operating in northern Wisconsin. Well, that's literally your neck of the woods. And so when you learned about, the test drilling that's going on, obviously any mining would still be years away, but that's years of casting a wary eye on, you know, just what kind of an operation would be involved in all of this, Angela.
I just think, you know, it's 2025. Have we not learned the lessons of the past? You know, we have one planet, we have one watershed in this region, and I know we need resources and precious minerals and all of that. I acknowledge that and I am realistic about that. But you just identified it. It's not do we mine or do we not mine. It's if we are going to mine, it must be with the highest standard of precaution and protection of our environment. And so for people to simultaneously promote extraction at the same time that they're watering down or trying to strip away environmental protection, that is 1,000 red flags, 1,000,000,000 red flags. And it's just another example of why, Tom Tiffany is not fit to be governor. We have to be thinking about the big picture, not the small picture of whatever industry is backing your campaign or candidacy, or a worldview that says that extract is the highest order value. There are bigger picture values. And one watershed, the most important water in the world, in my opinion, and it's our job to protect it. So, you know, I think that we can't have narrow thinking on these issues. We have to have broad thinking and really thinking about ecosystem mind views, and not just what's going to make money for some company.
And frankly, it does put another issue in front of voters for 2026, is over those next 2-4 years, who do you want in the governor's mansion? Who do you want in the legislature when it comes to either, you know, again, looking out for your long-term health or just, like you said, that short-term extraction? And it kind of takes us to, you know, ending where we began and this whole notion of service. And service goes beyond the next election day. If we could just get people looking beyond the next election day, you know, whether it politically benefits them or not, we'd probably be in a lot better place. And I again hope that we're getting there in the coming election cycle. But, you know, I just hope voters are, you know, keeping that in mind as they look at the parade of candidates already coming into the 2026 race.
I know. And you know, on that point, thinking about things like economic development, you have to have the capacity to think about economic development and the future. So it's not jobs just today, but will there be jobs here 5-7 years from now? Or are you going to ruin the environment so much that you're going to collapse the economy? And so that sort of way of thinking is, I just don't see it with someone like Tom Tiffany. I mean, you're right. I mean, he tries to follow the Trump playbook. You know, it's me now, and it's culture wars, and it's getting attention in these really toxic ways. And, you know, it's just, he's not fit for the job. I mean, just not fit for the job. We need someone who's a true public servant, and he is certainly not one of them.
Well, and you know, the other part of that then is that we will be getting a new congressional representative for the 7th district. And I think we're going to hear some news about that, if not today, then tomorrow. And obviously we'll want to get your reaction to developments in the 7th congressional district as we move into 2026 as well. State Representative Angela Stroud from Ashland. Great to visit with you as always, Angela. Thank you for your time.
Thanks, Pat.
All right. Have a wonderful day. Still ahead, we're going to be talking to Cam Stevenson from Courier Newsroom. He's going to join us live from the nation's capital to talk about the potential for a government shutdown. And then for more on Wisconsin political news, we'll talk to Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area and Civic Media's political editor. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
Swing big at Big Fish Golf Club in Hayward, bringing you the Golf for the Green and Gold text to win on WBZH, the Buzz of the North. Mention Big G and get $20 off your next round. Hurry, offer ends October 31st.
School sports are played by humans, coached by humans, and officiated by humans. So the next time you're sitting in the stands at a school athletic event, please remember this and maintain your humanity, especially when it comes to judging and critiquing athletes, coaches, and officials. Please show your fellow human some respect. They'll appreciate your empathy.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. The midterm gerrymandering arms race is on, with the current balance of power in the U.S. Congress, 219 Republicans to 213 Democrats. Red states Texas and Missouri have finished manipulating their congressional maps. What states are next? Heeding President Donald Trump's call to gerrymander more GOP seats, Missouri Governor Mike Kehoe signed the legislature's new congressional map September 28th, splitting a Kansas City district to likely gain one more congressional seat for the GOP. Texas Governor Greg Abbott signed a plan August 29th, gerrymandering five GOP seats. A Democratic plan in California awaits a referendum in November. September 23rd, Democratic Kansas Governor Laura Kelly called for meetings around the state to hear public testimony on mid-decade redistricting and avoided calling a special session. Meanwhile, the GOP, with its supermajority in the state House and Senate, needs signatures from two-thirds of the legislature to call a special session for itself. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis said in August that redistricting would be, quote, appropriate, but there's been no concrete action thus far. Ohio's redistricting committee met September 24th, ahead of a September 30th deadline. Governors Kelly Ayotte in New Hampshire and Kay Ivey in Alabama have said they do not support reopening the redistricting process. We've linked to more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Get ready to go for the green and gold on this local Civic Media radio station. Listen each weekday for the keywords to text for your chance to win our daily prize, $200 cash and gold jewelry. And be entered to win our grand prize, two indoor club level seats to see the green and gold take on Minnesota in Green Bay.
Big Fish Golf Club in Hayward is teeing it up with the Go for the Green and Gold text to win on WBZH, the Buzz of the North. Say my name, Big G, and slice $20 off your next round, now through October 31st.
I was stuck in a state of panic and endless rituals, so I made the call.
Mental health care works when you make the call. Visit mentalhealthcareworks.org, a message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
On a goal for the green and gold text to win Tuesday morning, Joel and Gray here with a Greeple Tuesday. Got a keyword for you. It's win, W-I-N. Should have dropped that note to Matt LaFleur on Sunday night. W-I-N, win. It's not tie. It's win, W-I-N is your keyword through the Civic Media app. Touch on Buzz of the North to get yourself entered. So as a fan of the purple, when I watch way too much football Sunday. I got up Sunday morning like 8 o'clock, watched the Vikings. I watched the noon game. I wanted to watch the Bear game at 3 o'clock, but it gave me that Chiefs blowout. And then I watched the Packers. Watching the Packer game last night, about third quarter, I thought to myself, this could be bad news for Viking fans because I think Mr. Dobbs and Mr. Golden are 1A, 1B in the receiver. I think the Packers might be building a pretty decent receiving core right now.
I think so. And I mean, I hate to talk about Micah Parsons again when that's not what we're discussing, but it's a good example of what's happening. You get one guy to elevate a room full of pretty good can become holy cow with one extra push. And that's what happened with the pass rush. Lucas Van Ness hasn't been able to quite put it together. Rashawn Gary's had a few good seasons, but you put Micah Parsons in there, voila, now he's double teamed and Rashawn's eating, though he didn't yesterday, or this past weekend, I mean, forgive me. But like, it's the same thing in the receiver room. Golden has shown, even as a rookie, that he's fast enough to command a cushion. And he's also shown that when the receiver gives him that cushion, that he can manipulate it. And yeah. It's like, cool, not only are you fast, you're smart enough to use it. That means defenses have to respect you, and they can't just let you free, and that means they can't devote those resources elsewhere. So, yes, I agree. Three touchdowns from Romeo, 1A, 1B situation, but Jaden Reed will come back. We need Christian Watson back, and we're suddenly looking at too many cooks. I mean, it will become a question probably of contracts and what we can afford to keep. I wouldn't be surprised if any one of our top options is gone after this season simply because of cap reasons. And, hey, we're paying Micah Parsons $47 million a year. Yeah, so
remember several years back when they came out with the promotion of putting your favorite player's large head, like, on your bedroom wall for young football fans? I think they were called Fatheads.
Fatheads, yeah, fat totally. Heads.
So Dobbs, and who's the other guy with the fat head?
Savion Williams.
So I think Dobbs and Williams should be the fathead boys. And
everybody calls those fatheads. I've heard like four people call those fatheads.
And I say that in a good way. I think it's awesome that they can wear those, and if it helps them with concussions, that's great. But I'll admit, every time I watch a Packer, as soon as I tune in the Packer game and I see one of those two, immediately I think to myself, did someone turn on the Madden game? It looks like maybe we got a Madden, because it just looks a little bit out of place.
You know, I think of PlayStation 2 and I think of a modern powerful system because it's the one I grew up on 25 years ago. But it's like, yeah, it looks like we're playing a PlayStation 2 game out there. Like, these are bobbleheads. But it doesn't help that Savion Williams and Romeo Dobbs might be the skinniest two dudes on our whole offense.
Yeah, like, those you're guys, right. Because the larger head kind of is amplified by their skinnier body.
Yeah. And exactly. Romeo's got a pretty normal frame on him, but Savion's, I think, 6'5". So it's like, it stands out. It's like, that's the ball and the chain standing upright.
Yeah, so the wide receiver part definitely was good. We'll see if that holds true against better defenses, because that defense of the Cowboys, not a good defense. They've given up a lot of yards already this year. But the Viking game on Sunday, the Vikings lost their turnover battle. They were in Dublin. I'm from Dublin. They were in Dublin, Ireland.
No, you're not.
And the Vikings had a couple of picks, almost had another turnover, and Aaron Rodgers played well, and it was a Steelers home game. And there were a lot of Steelers fans there. I don't know if they allot more tickets or what they do for that. But being a Viking fan, I wasn't totally disheartened by that game, because you know if you lose the turnover battle, especially by two, your odds of winning are just not very good at all.
Indeed. And I think this is between this and last week's game, you see what the Vikings might be. I think we have seen both their floor and their ceiling. You know, that absolute stomping match last week that was just you guys doing a jig, as opposed to this past week where, yeah, you're mortal. So here's what Kevin O'Connell's got to worry about and has to use in the toolkit. That is good for fans because you know where the margins are, but also it's bad because now there's tape of weaknesses. You know, there's a whole game's worth of what gets in under Carson Wentz's skin. And I expect no less when it comes to Mike Tomlin-led team. I love the Steelers for their coaching staff.
And Wentz threw for 350 yards, but like 80 of those came on one play. And when he can drop back and throw that ball 25, 30 yards over the middle down the field, he's very comfortable. He's not a good touch passer. He hit a defensive lineman basically in the helmet that turned into an interception. Those short little touch passes doesn't seem to be in his repertoire.
Yeah, he definitely has good instincts. It almost reminds me of Caleb Williams in a way. Like, hey, if you don't think about it, you do some really cool stuff. But stop thinking about it, man. We're trying to win here. Like, don't aim it. Just throw it.
I think no matter – this is probably good news for any Viking fans listening, because even if Carson Wentz comes out and has a really good game next week against Cleveland, after the bye week, I think J.J. McCarthy's coming back.
Yeah.
I think this – just the interceptions alone, Kevin O'Connell, he is not going to put up with picks. That just disrupts the whole game plan everywhere when that happens. So I think after the bye week in 3 weeks, you'll see JJ out in the field.
I mean, yeah, Carson Wentz is not Steve Young. I don't expect a controversy of any sort of magnitude.
No. And he's doing a decent job. He gave him a chance to win. And if he beats Cleveland this Sunday, well, job well done. We're 3-2 with a backup quarterback. And, you know, you're still there. You're still in good shape.
Yep. Last year, the Steelers pulled Justin Fields after a bunch of wins because they knew that it wasn't going to be sustainable. And then they got a bunch more wins with a different quarterback. Well, people were asking him, why'd you switch? Why'd you switch? You were winning. Because sometimes even the winning quarterback or the winning player isn't the right one to have in next week.
Yeah.
And that's Carson Wentz to the T.
And the Viking defense is still good. They were put in a bad spot by their offense on Sunday. The big question mark for the Vikings is their offensive line. Three of their five offensive linemen were out for most of the game this past Sunday, and they're not deep enough to do that. Their starters are really good. Their offensive line for the Vikings could be really good if they're healthy, but if you start putting in backups, right off the edge. Just say, Wile E. Coyote. See you later.
I got to say this at some point. When the Cowboys are 100% healthy, they have three offensive linemen named Tyler.
Right. Thank you for that tidbit. Keyword.
It's a tie, Joel.
For the 7 a.m. hour is WIN, W-I-N. Here on the Buzz of the North, Pat Kreitlow making his way back in next. It's a Greeple Tuesday, talking football with Joel and Gray here on WBZH.
This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Top military generals and admirals from around the world gathering in Virginia right now. They are hearing from War Secretary Pete Hegseth, who told those assembled,
"The motto of my first platoon was those who long for peace must prepare for war."
Hegseth talking about a warrior ethos he once adopted at the Pentagon. President Trump's also there as a government shutdown looms. The deadline is midnight tonight. Democrats pushing for an extension of Obamacare subsidies. Republicans saying that's not a part of the funding deal. Democratic Congressman Gregory Meeks from New York.
They have the ability to right now to say that we're going to keep Medicaid and the subsidies.